I'm going to read these verses tonight just as a sampling of what I'm going to share. Exodus 29, verse 1. And this is the thing that thou shalt do unto them, the priest, to hallow them or to make them holy. To make them holy in order that they can minister, to minister unto me in the priest's office. Take one young bullock and two rams without blemish. And the instructions go on. So if a priest is going to minister to God, the first thing's required is you've got to have a sacrifice. Yes. Leviticus chapter 14, verse 14. Again, just a sampling of verses. And the priest shall take some of the blood of the trespass. To trespass means to go beyond the law. You've broken the law. Trespass offering. And the priest shall put it upon the tip of the right ear of him that is to be cleansed. The blood, that is. And put blood upon the thumb of his right hand and upon the great toe of his right foot. Verse 17. And the rest of the oil that is in his hand shall the priest put upon the tip of the right ear of him that was to be cleansed. Let me ask, this is a quick question here. We just read what was first put on the right ear. What was first put on? Blood. Now what is he putting on top of the blood? Oil. Put that on the tip of the right ear of him that's to be cleansed, and upon the thumb of the right hand, and upon the great toe of his right foot, and upon the blood of the trespass. Wherever the blood was put, the oil was put. Hallelujah. I want to minister tonight on this simply, blood and oil. Brother Michael, there's a ring up here tonight if you can help me out. Blood and oil. And I want to speak particularly, but also generally tonight. And you'll see as we get into this message. Amen. Father, help us in the preaching and teaching of the word tonight. Make it real, Lord. Make it real in a special way. God, I pray that the Holy Spirit would quicken my mind and my heart, my words, the intent, Lord, of what is said. And Lord, minister to your people of every age, Lord, tonight. In Jesus' name, and God's people said, amen. You can be seated. Tuesday night, how many remembers what last Tuesday night was? A lot of you were there. What was last Tuesday night? Outreach launch meeting. And when I got there and saw the crowd we had for that, young people and older young people and older young people and families and couples and children, I was excited. You know what they were doing? They were preparing to minister to the Lord. They were getting ready for this year of outreach to bring people to God. That's exciting, isn't it? And then I got to thinking what they did in the Old Testament to somebody who was ready to serve. If somebody was ready to serve the Lord, one of those priests, I read a sampling tonight, they had this ceremony. There was a lot of blood involved. And it wasn't just blood on the altar, it was blood on the people, and there was that ceremony of blood and oil. Aren't you glad in one sense that after that outlaunch meeting, maybe tonight, that in order to minister and to be involved in Sidewalk Sunday School and to knock on the doors and to do the puppets and to, aren't you glad that you didn't have to go through a ceremony tonight where we actually took animal blood and put it on you and put oil on you so that you could be ready and prepared and set apart to minister? I'm just kind of glad you didn't have to go through that. And you know how I might normally preach that, but I just want you to know tonight, even though that's not still physically done, we're not going to go through that physical ceremony tonight with real blood and real oil, though perhaps we could anoint with oil. I believe it's something that's still spiritually done for those who would minister unto the Lord. Even though we're not going to talk about literal animal's blood and literal oil from the bottle, I still believe to minister unto the Lord, it takes blood and it takes oil. Oh, how many sees where we're headed? It takes the blood of Jesus and it takes the oil of the Holy Spirit. Now, though my heart was thrilled, immediately I began to feel the need of this tonight, this spiritual application of blood, spiritual application of oil. I want to reiterate something that I just said in comparison. You say, that's Old Testament, we don't have priests anymore. Well, right and wrong. Right, we don't have priests to come between us and God in our worship. And the reason we don't have that, I'm not a priest, I'm a pastor. The reason we don't have that is because in the New Testament, all God's people are priests. I said all God's people are priests. All God's people can enter right into the presence of God. All of God's people can be involved in His work, in His ministry. Nobody is excluded. We're all priests unto our Lord. And so, as priest, the job of the priest has never changed. The job of the priest is to bring people to God, to bring people to God, to bring the needs of people to God. Now, I've done something, and I want to tell you what I've done before I get into this tonight. I started with what was done for a priest, and then I read scriptures of what was done to a leper when he sought cleansing. And the reason I did that is that these ceremonies were very, very similar. What was done for a priest, what was done for a leper when he was cleansed, they're very similar. And I read the leper because there's some things that is involved in this cleansing ceremony of the leper that I thought was so applicable and to what we need as ministers to the Lord. But I want to make some disclaimers here. I'm not saying these scriptures I read and others I'm going to read tonight, I'm not saying that those were put in the Bible to teach what I'm going to teach tonight. That's what we're supposed to get out of it. What I am saying is these things I'm going to read and have read, they make a wonderful illustration of other things that the Bible teaches, and that's what I want to share tonight. Amen. I don't know, and I don't fault you if you're one of those, but most people, unless they're doing a read the Bible through program, they avoid the book of Leviticus. Just too much blood, too much boring reading. And I'm not saying this because I think there's anything different about me. It's just a unique click. I love the book of Leviticus. And when I read it through this last time and I read this about the blood and the oil, something excited me all over again when I note what God has done for us. But let me just briefly tell you, the book of Leviticus is an important book because it answers this question: how do unholy people come before God? How can unholy people ever stand before God? How can unholy people ever be used of God? And the simple answer is by the blood, by the blood, by the blood. It's not by works. Amen. The only reason we can come before a holy God as unholy people is because of the blood. Aren't you glad for the blood tonight? Aren't you glad though we're unholy and unworthy, we can come before Him? And beyond that, we can be used of Him. We can minister unto the Lord. And through this ceremony of the leper and using that as a further picture of what was done for the priest, I see that there's four things we desperately need in our lives to live this Christian life to its fullness. We need these four things to really serve Christ. We need these four things to be priests and ministers that Christ wants us to be. Now, here's the sad thing, and you'll see as I go through this. We need these four things, but most Christians anymore, they stop after the first one. I want you to see that as we go through this tonight. We need these four things to live the Christian life to the fullness, to be the ministers and priests of God, to be used of God. We need these four things. They've never changed, but most Christians today stop after the first one. I'm going to need some help. Dylan, would you mind to help me tonight? You're going to have to do a lot of standing. That's all you got to do is stand. Amen. Have you take off your boots because we got to get to your big toe, but you may have a hole in your sock. So just stand. That's all you got to do. Stand right there. And that a good helper tonight. Amen. And so the first thing that we need to have the fullness of Christ, the first thing we need to be ministers unto the Lord, to be servants of the Lord, the first thing we need is to be made clean. To be made clean. Amen. Let's look at these verses here. It says in Leviticus 14:2, this shall be the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought into the priest, and he shall slay a lamb. And I'm not going to read the other verses, but they slew the lamb. They took that blood, and that blood was applied to the altar for the cleansing of the leper, for the cleansing of sin. It was a sin offering. Amen. I want you to know, before we can ever know the fullness of Christ, before we can ever truly be used of him, we must be cleansed. How many knows tonight the only thing that can cleanse us is the shedding of the blood of a lamb? Amen. None of this blood, particularly yet, was applied. But in the shedding of the blood, amen, was the availability for cleansing. The first step we need is to be made clean. And this speaks of the guilt of sin. Amen. Every one of us all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And we have the guilt and the condemnation of sin, and there's no way to remove that guilt and condemnation of sin. We're truly guilty. We've done the thing that's wrong. We can't get rid of it through good works, no amount of philosophy or education. There's only one way to be cleansed of our sins. Amen. It's not the traditions of the church or of our fathers, but it's by the precious blood of a lamb as without spot or blemish. Hallelujah. How many's glad tonight that there is a blood for our cleansing? Amen. You must have this to have fullness in Christ. I tell you, the indictment against so many today is they want to name the name of Christ but live in sin in their life. You may or may not believe how many folks today call themselves Christians and they live in fornication and they live in adultery, and pornography is a steady habit in their lives. Their lives are filled with sin. You can never know the fullness of a Christian life. You can never be truly used to the Lord when sin is in your life. There must be a cleansing. There must be a washing. And so what I'm talking about really is salvation, being made clean. Hallelujah. Do you know there are so many folks, even today, that have been to church, they've heard the gospel over and over, but they have never been cleansed of their sins. And if they have been cleansed in the past, they're living today with unconfessed sin in their life. I know people today want something else preached in the house of God. They're looking for a motivational message and a message about potential. But I'm telling you, the biggest problem amongst God's people is they're trying to live with unconfessed sin in their life. You'll never know victory. You'll never know freedom. You'll never know the fullness of Christ, the fullness of joy with unconfessed sin. But let me tell you something about unconfessed sin. The scripture still reads, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I'm thrilled by the number, and I'm pointing a finger at nobody, but I'm telling you, if we really want to be used of God and see God uses as his priest to bring folks to Christ, it begins in our own life. Lord, make me clean. Cleanse my heart. Cleanse my life. Cleanse my thoughts. Cleanse my emotion. Just cleanse me, oh God, and purify me. I'm telling you, the vessels that God uses are vessels that he has cleansed. We must be clean. Oh, isn't it a wonderful thing to be clean? Never should there be unconfessed sin in our lives, especially when the blood has been made available to cleanse us. Let me put it this way. The wonderful thing is nobody has to carry the guilt and burden and condemnation and bondage of sin, because there is blood available to cleanse. How many knows we need salvation? We need to be made clean. But secondly, we need to be made holy. We need to be made holy. Amen. You see, being made clean dealt with the guilt of sin. Being made holy deals with the power of sin. I'll explain in a moment. But in verse 14 that I read, It said the priest shall take some of the blood. Now for the cleansing, the blood's applied to the altar. But this blood is applied to the person, the leper or the priest. He's to take that blood and apply it. You have to have your hands out of your pocket. There you go. Apply that blood to his right earlobe, to his right thumb, and to his right toe. You know what that means? Amen. This thing of serving the Lord, it's everything. It's everything. He doesn't just want to cleanse what we do on Sunday. He wants to cleanse what we do on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. He doesn't want us just to have a clean heart from past sins. He wants us to have a clean mind. He wants what we do to be clean, what we hear to be clean. Amen. He wants where we go to be clean. You see, here's the thing that is missing. And I say that's why so many have stopped after number one. People fail to realize, I'm not even going to begin to get into it tonight. But Scripture teaches that yes, we come to Christ, we have accumulated past sins, we need forgiven, and by his blood he washes us, he forgives us of the past sin, that takes away the penalty of sin, the guilt of sin. But you see, here's the truth that we all know. We can get up a saved individual, our past sins forgiven, but we still have the old habits of sin, we have the hang-ups of sin, we have the holdouts of sin, we still have even the old hankering for sin. Amen. A deeper work needs to be done. The work of sanctification. The work of making us holy. What is that work? Amen. Sanctification deals with that led us into sin in the first place. I said sanctification deals with that of our heart that led us into sin in the first place. It might have been something I'd done with my hands that led me into sin, and therefore the blood is applied. It might have been something I heard that led me into sin, therefore the blood's applied to the ear. It might have been somewhere that I went, amen, that led me into sin, that's applied to my foot. In other words, I'm saved, the blood is washed away my past sin, but there is a work of God to deal with that of my heart, my life, my mind that would lead me back into sin, my weaknesses, the temptations that I would yield to. Amen. There is a sanctification process of taking from me and changing in me that which is unholy, that would lead me away from God, lead me into sin, cause me to be unlike him, cause me not to walk in obedience. It's a deeper work. And that's why we had the blood on the altar, to wash away the sin. Amen. But now we have the blood applied to the person. That's sanctification. He's making him like Jesus. He's taking away that which is wrong, that which is evil. He's making him pure in thought, pure in desire, pure in attitude, pure in all of his life. Oh, aren't you glad for when he begins to apply the blood and changes into the image of Jesus Christ? Amen. He works on our weaknesses. He works on our carnality. He works on our selfishness. He works on our unchristlikeness. Amen. And all of that is called being made holy, set apart, made different. Amen. You say, why is that important? Why is it important for ministry? If we're going to reach out, why is that important? I want to tell you something. Amen. If we're no different than those that we reach out to, they will not understand that we have anything to give them, anything to offer, any hope. Amen. If we tell the same jokes, if we watch the same wicked television shows, if we say the same cuss words, if they find out we claim to be a Christian, but we take a little drink and now and then, amen, if we're no different, amen, we have nothing to offer. Oh, but if he's sanctified us, if he's made us different, hallelujah. People that we're reaching out to, they know there's something different. And it's not just in the t-shirt that we wear and the color of that. They know there's something different on the inside. It's more than I sinned and I did wrong and he forgave me. It's my life is different. He's changed the way I think. He's changed the way I feel. He's changed the way I do. He's changed my motives. He applied the blood. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Even there's some areas of my heart I still need him to get the blood to change me. Hallelujah. I remember when I got called to preach as a 17-year-old. I'm not perfect now, and I wasn't perfect then. And there were times even then after I began to preach that I would get involved in things and find myself slipping or do something that wasn't just right. And the trouble is, I had to preach Sunday morning. And God worked that thing out. It was all the Lord's work. And I got called to preach, immediately began to preach. And many, many weekends, even in high school, holding revivals and preaching the weekend. I'm telling you something. If you're serious about this thing, all of a sudden you realize if you're going to testify, if you're going to invite somebody to church, if you're going to sing, if you're going to teach a Sunday school class, if you've really got the real thing and you've done wrong, something's uncomfortable there. Hallelujah. And I remember many a Saturday night kneeling down there in my little bedroom by my bed, knowing I was going to be preaching the next Sunday morning, knowing I hadn't done everything right at school that week or said everything right. And I remember praying this prayer, oh God, I don't want to preach if I'm not pure. God, I don't want to preach if I'm not pure. I wasn't talking about all my past sins. I was talking about the things that were wrong with the way I thought and the things that were wrong with the way I did and the things that were wrong that because of what I was involved in. I said, oh Lord, I don't want to preach. And sometimes I prayed into the night. Oh, hallelujah. If you really want to reach people for Jesus, if you really want to make a difference at your school, if you really want to make a difference in this community, if you really want to see people come to Christ, there must be the allowing of God to do the work and to purify us. Oh, isn't he faithful to do that? I said, isn't he faithful to do that? Hey, man, you don't have to lift a hand. You can if you want to. But how many's glad that even after the day you got saved, he kept working on you, kept talking to you, kept bringing you out. Hallelujah. That's the second thing. We need to be made clean. We need to be made holy. But the third thing is we need to be made alive. Made alive. Amen. Verse 17. Amen. The blood's already been applied. Now take this oil that's in his hand, and the priest should put it on the right ear on top of the blood. Put it on the right thumb on top of the blood. Put it on the right toe on top of the blood. And I know there's a lot of theological things we could get into right here. You know, this thing sometimes Pentecostals are faced with, and they don't always answer the question correctly. But do you receive the Holy Spirit when you get saved? The answer to that is yes. If you're talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the answer is no. But if you're talking about receiving the Holy Spirit when you get saved, the answer is yes. You can't get saved without the Holy Spirit. You can't do it. He's the one that convicts you. He's the one that talks to you. He's the one that draws you. How many felt the Holy Spirit drawing you before you got saved? By the way, I want to remind you, he still does that. I said the Holy Spirit still, you got to believe that when you knock on the doors and invite the children out there to the tarp. You've got to believe there's a Holy Spirit that's already could have been talking to them and drawing them. You can't get saved without the Holy Spirit. And here's the thing. Amen. The blood has been applied, but it wasn't just blood. The oil came with the blood. What are you talking about? Yes, you get saved and your heart is cleansed. But the Bible says when you get saved, you are born again. How? By the Spirit that blows where it listeth. Why? How does that make you alive? Amen. Because the Spirit is life itself. Just like God when he made that clay Adam and he breathed into his nostrils and said, be a living soul. The Holy Spirit is the life-giving breath of God. Oh, hallelujah. And I'm telling you, when you get saved, the blood washes away your sin, but the Spirit makes you alive. Amen. You were dead in trespasses and sins. Amen. But the Spirit made you alive. It's called regeneration, the regenerating. That means re-life. Generate, re-life. The Holy Spirit brings life. And so when you get saved, amen, the oil, amen, the Spirit comes with that. How do you get oil? How do you get life from oil? Read it in the Bible times. Oil is a sign of health, vitality, life, healthiness. It was seen as a necessity, amen, for your very existence. Oh, glory to God. Amen. I'm going somewhere with this. I want to tell you, amen, beyond the life that we receive when we get saved, need. This tells me if we're going to be ministers unto God, there's got to be more than just the message of blood and the truth of the cross. There must be life to this thing. I said there must be life to this thing. It's not enough just to sing. There's power in the blood. We must sing it with the life of the Spirit in it. It's not enough to give a testimony and say Jesus saved. We need a testimony that's got the oil put on it. There's life to that testimony. It's wonderful to plan a lesson for the children. Amen. Whatever class, whatever thing that is. But I'm telling you, it's not enough just to give a lesson to a child. Amen. The oil needs to be put on it. There needs to be life to that thing. I'm telling you, if you've ever experienced that, you know exactly what I mean. All of a sudden, it's not just what we're doing. It's not just what we're saying. It's not just what we're singing. Oh, but there's a divine life. I tell you, only life can beget life. And it's only when God's priests are alive that there can be life beget in a world that's lost in dying. Hallelujah. The oil was only applied where the blood had been. The Spirit only comes upon the blood. And it's in that cleanliness of heart that God is able to give us that life of the Spirit. I was thinking as I prepared much of what Jesus said. He said the Spirit makes alive, but the flesh profiteth nothing. The words I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Hallelujah. The flesh profiteth nothing, but the Spirit, it quickeneth. Glory to God. I said glory to God. I believe this ministry is going to make its mark this year. Oh, we need the blood. We need that gospel. But I'm telling you, we need to be made alive. I'm not just talking about loud, but I'm telling you, we need life to this. Oh, aren't you tired of words being dead? Singing in it be dead. Testimony in it's dead. Praying in it's dead. Amen. Thank God for commitment. Thank God for doing the job. Thank God for being faithful. But I'm telling you, if we need anything, we need oil put with the blood. We need the life of the Spirit. Glory to God. How many knows what I'm talking about? I'm not just speaking in mysteries and analogies. How many knows when the life is put into this thing? Amen. We need to be made clean. We need to be made holy. We need to be made alive. And then we need to be made able. Made able or empowered. In verse 18. Oh, I like this. It just grows. I mean, the blood's put upon the altar. I'm made clean. The blood is put upon me, my ear, my thumb. Amen. I am made sanctified. Amen. Now the oil has been put on. You see, look, there was enough blood from the cleansing to sanctify, right? Now we have oil to make alive, but there's enough oil left over for something else. And here it is. And the remnant of the oil that's in the priest's hand, he shall pour upon the head of him that is to be cleansed, and the priest shall make an atonement for him before the Lord. Amen. Amen. You see, anointing in that time was to designate somebody for a specific role. You poured oil on somebody, amen. That was God's way of designating, this man is my prophet. You have oil poured on someone, it was God's way of saying, this man is designated as my king. Amen. And so it meant something, but it was more than just a designation, because God never designates, God never calls somebody that he does not empower them to do it. Amen. Now we could get theological here, and that wasn't the purpose in Leviticus on what I'm about to say, but I can't help but seeing an illustration. Let's go back to that little question. You get the Holy Spirit when you get saved. And even though some Pentecostals have answered that wrong, the answer's yes. This guy's got saved and he's got the Holy Spirit that came with all of that. Amen. But now let's look at the story. The oil is already there on the man. But the Bible said there was the remainder of the oil. There was a remainder of the oil. The oil, when you get saved, is regeneration to make alive. But what is the remainder of that oil? And this wasn't dabbed on him. I said, this wasn't just put on strategically here, there, and there on that man. But the instruction was, the remainder of the oil, you just pour on him. Glory to God. I'm glad when I got saved, the Holy Spirit made me come alive. But that wasn't the only oil he wanted to apply to my life. Amen. Now that I'm saved, I begin to seek him for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I begin to seek him for an infilling. You know what he does? He takes the rest of the oil and he pours it out upon you. I'm glad for the Holy Spirit and salvation, but I'm glad for the remainder of the oil that he just takes and he pours on. Amen. We've made this about feeling good, but I want to tell you, when he poured out the Holy Ghost, it was to equip them to share this gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. I want to tell you, you may be seeking. You may have already received. But if we're going to do a work for the Lord, we just need to pray, God, take the remainder of the oil and pour it on me and empower me. Hallelujah. How many's ever had the experience when he poured out the oil upon you? Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. Oh, I just may do it. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. I'll tell you one thing. If I did, you'd tell the immediate effects. Oh, I said, you tell the immediate effect. I'm telling you, when the Holy Spirit is poured upon your life, you'll be able to tell the effects. Call it what you want. Baptism of the Spirit, infilling, the unction, the empowerment, endued with power on high. The point is, we need it. Now, I said that most folks never get past in our modern Christianity. They never get past being made clean from the guilt of sin. But I think I'm preaching to folks, you want all four things to happen in your life. You want to be made clean. You want to be made holy. You want to be made alive. And you want to be made able, empowered with the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Would you come, music? I like the way old timers have expressed some things. I heard Brother Clinton tell years ago he didn't know hardly anything about God and church, and finally went to church and got wondrously saved. He said he went back the next night and one elder met him there and said, what do you want tonight? The Holy Ghost? And Brother Clinton said, I didn't even know anything about that. So he said, I said to the elder, what is the Holy Ghost? He said, the elder said, it's what's next. I want you to think of this, and though I didn't use a theological passage, and though this, I only use it as an illustration, it's all through Scripture. I want you to think tonight, for the fullness of life in Christ, to really do something for the Lord and make your life count, there are these things: being made clean, being made holy, being made alive, being made able. And I want you to ask personally for yourself tonight, in honesty before God, what's next? What's next? Hallelujah. Amen. Could you stand across the building? When we get through with what we're about to do, you can dissipate and find a place to kneel and pray. But I really feel, again, my heart was so thrilled when I looked at those that came out Tuesday night. It was a great meal and a lot of preparation there. And Sister Ruth's been preparing for a long time, months already, and a lot of work went into the meeting. My heart was thrilled. But I just felt immediately in my spirit, oh, we got a great gospel. We got great workers, great commitment. But oh, we need this thing to be made alive. And I begin to hear this right here. It'd just be wonderful, God, to take the remainder of the oil and just start pouring it out on folks. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Oh, hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Glory to Jesus. And so I felt led, and you'll just have to be kind to me and just kind of comply with this tonight. Just be kind. And like I said, when we get through this, you can find an individual place to pray. But right now, and I know everyone that was in that meeting, they couldn't be here tonight. But I'd like for everyone, and Sister Ruth, I want you to go ahead and come right in the middle, and those, your lieutenants, so to speak. I don't know who all is helping you in the main leadership, but if you'd come right here in the middle, step as close as you can. I want everybody that was in that meeting on Tuesday, would you mind to come and just stand up here in the front as close as you can? We're just going to pray as a church. Oh, God, thank you for making me clean. But, oh, God, make me holy. Make me holy in the way I think. Make me holy in my desires. Lord, make me alive. Make me able. Everyone, get in as close as you can. Just step in as close as you can. Amen. You may have to spread out to the wings here. I don't know, across the front. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Step as close. Yes, step right up to the front so we can get folks behind you to pray. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. Just stretch on out across here. Amen. Amen. Could you young ladies just go ahead and come over here? Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Maybe you men could stretch out a little bit down this way. Amen. This is great. This is a good problem tonight. Oh, hallelujah. 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 I heard an old preacher say humorously, he said, if there's anything he can't stand, it's dry preaching, especially when he's the one doing it. How many knows that, to be involved in doing something for the Lord and realize the life's not there, or the purity's not there, right? Amen. Or the power of enablement's not there. Amen. Church, I'm going to need your help. You may say, I don't know how I can get there. Well, get in as close as you can, and to lay hands. Make a change until you get somebody point of contact. Would you come, church? You can come to the sides and the back. Feel the aisles. Get as close as you can. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Sister, if you can. Hallelujah. All right, I want you workers, I want you to think one more time, and not just being repetitious or anything. I want you to think one more time. Where are you at in this process? Are you made clean? What about unconfessed sin? Are you made clean? What about being made holy? What about something in your heart that says, I don't want to be like the world, I want to be like Jesus? Amen. What about life? I want life in what I do. I want life in what I... What about empowerment? I want you to lift your hand, workers, and say, I'm here as that priest. Apply to me, God, what you want to apply to me. Apply the blood. Apply the oil. Hallelujah. I'm standing here before you, Lord. Apply it, church. Would you lay hands on these and pray for these as they reach out, as they do the work. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, that's it. Open up your heart to God. God, I want you, Lord. God, I want you, Lord. God, I want to be pure. God, I want to be empowered. God, I want to be clean.
It is deep down inside of me for the power of your Spirit.
I need you, Lord. Tonight. What's next for you tonight? Oh, my sins are gone. Sanctify me. Hallelujah. Empower me.
Hallelujah. were gathered together.
What's next for you tonight?
One day.
What's next for you tonight?
So sad and lonely that their master had been taken away.
Bless your name.
And suddenly a mighty wind flowed through the air.
Worshiping, seeking God. Listen, when you go out there to do this outreach, we're not just up against boredom or hot days or possible rain or people doing crazy things or bad condition. I want you to know it's all out war out there. There's an enemy that loves to entrap and to ensnare and to put in bondage folks, and that's where they're at. Folks are in bondage. Amen. Chains of sin and darkness and the powers of evil. When you go out there, it's a battle. And just being interesting, that's not going to help. That's good. Amen. Just having talent and ability, that's great. But, and that's wonderful. But it's going to take more than that. It's going to take the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, that being said, I want you to know what you can do. You can go out there knowing this. This whole world lieth in wickedness. But he that is within us is greater than he that's in the world. You can go out there knowing I've had the blood applied, I've had the oil applied, and I've had the remainder of the oil poured out upon me. It's a battle. There's a dark power, but I've got the power of the Holy Spirit. Would you go ahead and reach out to him tonight and say, that's what I want. That's what I want. Hallelujah. That's what I want. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And I'm thirsting for a touch of God.